Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. Today on the show, just how stuck are the Timberwolves? Evaluating trade possibilities this offseason. There's a great article by John Hollinger on The Athletic talking about the teams in the league that are most stuck. All rank where the Wolves are, which teams are in a worse spot than the Wolves, which teams are in a better spot. And what are the possibilities trade-wise for the Wolves this summer? It's all coming to the show. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves. Your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. Happy Monday, everybody. Happy Memorial Day to those of you in the United States. And, of course, thoughts are with the families and those that were lost in the service of our country in the past. Happy Memorial Day to everyone. Hopefully you're able to celebrate with family and friends, or I guess maybe not celebrate, but remember and enjoy the day with thankfulness for the freedom we have here in the U.S. A big thank you here off the top for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Locked On Wolves is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. You could also watch the show on the Locked On Sports Minnesota app on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. Along with all the other Locked On Minnesota podcasts, more great local sports coverage 24/7, and it's free. Download the Locked On Sports Minnesota app today. Again, that's both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves, and also at my account, which is at B Beacon, and that's with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right, so I want to do a little bit of trade talk this week. Actually, the plan for Tuesday, peeking ahead slightly, is going to do a bit of a crossover episode with Cyrus over at Locked On Warriors. I think, you know, we're going to record this later today. I think going into the conversation, he's maybe a little more optimistic than I am that he could work out a trade for the Warriors that would include Karl-Anthony Towns. I don't think it's very possible, but we're going to have the conversation. We're going to see where it goes. But I think that kind of spurred me talking through doing this crossover episode with Cyrus and Locked On Warriors. Got me thinking further about potential trade partners for the Wolves and also teams like the Warriors, who I would say are nearly as stuck as the Timberwolves are in terms of trades. And lo and behold, John Hollinger over at The Athletic happened to publish an article over the weekend, or I guess it was late last week, about what he called the NBA's summer of stuckness. And he lists several teams. I guess it's, eight teams or so. 9 teams that he would consider are stuck based on their potential trade assets. Like, basically, they don't have much. And also, in terms of free agency, in most cases, they can't do a whole lot in free agency. They can't do a whole lot trade-wise because of salary commitments and or pick commitments because of past trades. The Wolves, of course, fall into both camps. So I thought it would be interesting today to kind of quickly breeze through that list and, in a sense, rank them. I didn't, like, literally rank them 1 through 9, but basically which teams are in a worse spot than the Wolves, which teams are in a better spot than the Wolves. And I think the best way to term this would be who has the most or the least flexibility, or I guess, which is the opposite of being stuck in this sense, kind of. Quickly, the Wolves situation is, we know, you likely know what it is. I've talked about it a lot on the show, but basically the Wolves don't have cap space, right? The only quote unquote space they have is because of the expiring contracts for guys that they want to bring back, like Naz Reid, Nickeil Alexander-Walker would be the other bigger one. And then besides that, you got the small ones, right? Jalen Noel and Austin Rivers, which are effectively minimum contracts. So really, you're talking Alexander-Walker, which is only a few million anyway, but he's a restricted free agent. And then Naz's, which also, by the way, Naz's number is small too. And then you have the possibility of creating some more space by waiving Torian Prince, which gives you another $7.5 million. But like, then you got to fill his rotation spot. So does that even make sense? We talked about that last week quite a bit. And you don't have a whole lot of trade assets. Well, actually, let's start with picks. You don't have many of your own picks. You owe picks basically through 2029. Remember, you can't trade picks in consecutive years. So the Wolves have a couple picks in there, but they're also picks the Wolves can't trade because they've traded everything else. There's a couple of pick swaps. So draft pick compensation that the Wolves could trade is nothing really, minus a few second rounders. And then you look at it from a player perspective. You're not trading Anthony Edwards. Rudy Gobert likely is untradeable at this point, virtually untradeable unless you're attaching picks, which the Wolves can't do. You're not trading Ant. Makes no sense to trade Mike Conley. So the only guys, you're not going to trade Jaden McDaniels before you extend him. That wouldn't make a whole lot of sense. So the only potential trade assets would be Karl-Anthony Towns, who we've talked a lot about. We'll talk more about this week. You could trade Kyle Anderson, but same thing with Torian Prince, only on a greater scale. Kyle Anderson was vital to what the Wolves did this year. He's only owed $9.2 million next year. That's not bad considering what he gave you. You're not trading Kyle Anderson, although teams will call about him. And then last year's rookies, right? Wendell Moore Jr. and Josh Minot, both who probably have more value to the Wolves as minimum contract or rookie scale contract guys than they would on the trade market. Like, why are you trading them? You need cheap players, quote unquote, cheap players in potential roles anyway. I think both of them could go into next year as real options for rotation minutes for this team. So you're talking Cat, and that's pretty much it in terms of players that you would trade. The other option is, of course, you don't waive Prince. His salary becomes guaranteed. You could trade him in a larger deal later, but nobody's knocking on the Wolves' door saying, I'll give you a first for Torian Prince, right? So really, there's not a whole lot of flexibility there. I'll read what John Hollinger says about the Wolves, or a chunk of it at least. He says, he went alphabetical in the article. He says, "Welcome to the capital city of Stuckville. If you thought winter was cold," because of course that has to be in there, right? "Wait until you see how frigid this summer is when the Wolves make outbound trade calls. They have two centers on behemoth contracts, owe future first to Utah through 29 and are over the cap." He then talks about the Edwards eventual supermax that will hit when Towns' max extension kicks in next year, the $50 million for Cat next year. And then he says once they extend Jaden McDaniels, you basically could be bumping up against the tax line with just four players. Of course, Cat, Rudy, Edwards, and McDaniels. He says, how do they get out of it? They have 3 years to run on a Towns-Rudy Gobert partnership that doesn't really work, no picks to trade, and very limited cap flexibility. Like a lot of teams on this list, the Timberwolves aren't bad. They just aren't notably good, and that wasn't the plan here. They pushed their chips in for something more than a gentleman sweep in the first round. And like a lot of teams on this list, extricating themselves from the situation with any moves beyond minimum contract signings and late draft picks seems difficult. Yep. That's where the Wolves are at, right? He doesn't even mention the possibility of a Towns trade. That is the obvious difference that the Wolves have, especially versus a lot of other teams on this list, is that they could have a pivot and still have a superstar in Rudy Gobert, a budding superstar in Anthony Edwards, a budding star in Jaden McDaniels. That's your pivot, right? And we've talked about that. We're going to talk a lot about it. You could still trade Karl-Anthony Towns and recoup some picks, get a player back. You're not really going to create cap space, though, right? Because you have to match salaries. It would be a shuffling of sorts, but if you could regain some picks and, you know, perhaps if you're convinced the Towns-Gobert partnership doesn't work, that, which, again, I don't know that they're convinced of that yet, but if they find a great offer, then you could kind of remake this thing on the fly. You're doing it around Anthony Edwards anyway. So if you find pieces that you feel like, if the Wolves find pieces that they feel like fit better with Ant and Rudy, and to a lesser extent, Jaden McDaniels, who should fit with basically anybody, then you could do that, right? So I think that's the difference between the Wolves and a lot of other teams on this list. But I do want to kind of quickly hit a few of them. Golden State, by the way, is on the list. And so as a precursor to my conversation with Cyrus and Lockdown Warriors on Tuesday's show, I also want to touch on Golden State to mention their situation. But the Wolves aren't in the worst spot of the nine teams on this list. I know Hollinger calls them the capital city of Stuckville. There's a couple teams that I would rather be in the Wolves' spot than in their spot. So I want to hit those first, and then we'll also look at a few teams that are actually in better situations that do hit this list. So there's, I think, eight teams to run through here when we do that. So we'll do all that here next. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to us by our friends over at Prize Picks. Every day of the NBA playoffs and all throughout the finals, one Prize Picks user will win a chance at becoming a millionaire. One entry placed after 8 a.m. Eastern, that's 7 a.m. Central Time, will be randomly selected each day, again, throughout the playoffs and finals. Whoever plays that entry will be given a six-pick flex with the following payouts. Six correct picks gets $1 million. 5 correct picks, $80,000, and 4 correct picks, $16,000. Full details can be found at prizepicks.com/million. You must opt in at this link to be eligible for the $1 million entry. Once you opt in, all you have to do is play the game like normal, and you could be the lucky winner. If you're not familiar with Prize Picks and how to play like normal, it's really easy. You just pick 2 to 6 players. If they'll score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. You're not competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available, and it's any sport. So, of course, NBA playoffs, MLB regular season, NHL, the end of their playoffs, college sports, it's all on there, and you can make your picks in less than 60 seconds. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, PrizePicks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, they'll give you $50. Don't forget to enter the promo code LOCKEDON at sign-up for an instant deposit match up to $100. A big thank you once again for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every single day. Of course, every day or tomorrow, as I mentioned, we'll have Cyrus from Locked On Warriors on the show to talk. We're going to talk a little overall NBA playoffs as well. I don't do a ton of that on the show, but Cyrus and I, it'll be a little more interesting, I think, to have a conversation about it. NBA playoffs to date, of course, the Warriors were very involved in those playoffs, the Wolves less involved. Also, the potential for a Wolves-Warriors trade. Is it possible that they could be trade partners this offseason? I'm tipping my hand a little bit to say it's unlikely, but I think it's unlikely. We'll still talk through it, and if that's possible at all. All right, let's go through this list here of teams that Hollinger mentions as being stuck this offseason. Let's start with the teams that are in a worse spot. The Atlanta Hawks. I do not like, if I'm an Atlanta Hawks fan, I really hate where I'm at. The Hawks did a similar thing to the Wolves in that they overpaid for I would call DeJounte Murray really more of a borderline star. Rudy Gobert, I think, is a bona fide star. Given the track record of all NBA teams and all defensive player of the year, et cetera. DeJounte Murray, yes, is younger. Yes, still has upside, but they paid a lot for him. And remember, before the Gobert trade, the Wolves were rumored to be very interested in DeJounte Murray. The Hawks don't have their first round pick next year in 25, where I guess that's 2 years from now, and 27. And DeJounte Murray will be a free agent by that point. The Hawks are probably open to trading Trae Young. Hollinger mentions in his article that he doesn't think it's possible that they'll be able to trade him. And also, if they do, like, they're not necessarily, how are you going to get better by trading Trae Young immediately? Like, you might get a couple picks back. But as Hollinger points out, that helps San Antonio, because if the Hawks get worse, those picks get better that the Spurs then have because of the DeJounte Murray trade. By the way, the Spurs are, given their draft position and now upcoming draft picks, Spurs suddenly are in a great spot. Also, John Collins has been on the trade block since before he signed his extension. Remember, the Wolves' John Collins rumors go back to the Gerson Rosas years. Go back to like 2018, I think, certainly 19, well before COVID. The Wolves were rumored as a potential destination for John Collins. And now they still owe him $78 million over the next 3 years. And like, Collins is still a really nice player, but that's too much money for him. Trae Young's being paid too much money. And, I mean, Atlanta finished this year strong, and they ended up, what, eighth in the East in the 41 wins, so only one win worse than the Wolves. They've had the coaching turmoil, midseason coaching changes a couple of times the last few years, and now they've got a really good coach in Quinn Snyder. But, like, where do they go from here? With no picks and with multiple guys on contracts that are overpays. Like, if you look at the Wolves roster compared to the Hawks, just talking about the star players, I would argue both Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert are better than Trae Young, and Anthony Edwards should be this year. I mean, just because he's a two-way player, Trae Young is not. Trae Young, like, you could make the argument he would be the third best player on the Timberwolves. Now, this year, I guess Trae was better than Rudy, but like last year, you wouldn't have made that argument. So, I mean, maybe that if Rudy's indeed declining, and I hope for all Wolves fans that's not the case, then maybe that's not true. But you would say 12 months ago, you would say Rudy Gobert and possibly Karl Anthony Towns are both better than Trae Young. And now I'm saying next year, Anthony Edwards will be he's knocking on that door. He's now an all-star. He's a really good defender. And yet Trae Young is getting paid what he's getting paid. Now you talk John Collins, who's going to be getting paid probably more even than what Jaden McDaniels is going to get on his extension. Like, you'd rather have all four of those guys than John Collins easily. Gobert, Towns, Edwards, and McDaniels. So, like, the Hawks have two guys tied up with a bunch of money. The Wolves will have four, but all four of them I mean, you could argue the Trae Young, Jaden McDaniels, who's better thing, but like, there's obviously more upside still with McDaniels. Like, you could argue for all four of those guys before you'd want Collins or Trae Young. And the Hawks also owe picks, not as many as the Wolves, but they owe picks. So the Hawks are in a bad spot. I would argue a worse spot than the Minnesota Timberwolves. And then the Clippers. Like, the Clippers are, moving to the Western Conference, are a disaster because when completely healthy, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are, you know, not crazy to say they're still both top 10 players, but Kawhi Leonard has played, Hollinger points this out in his article, over the last six seasons, Kawhi Leonard has averaged 38 games a year. Now, obviously, a couple shortened seasons in there, but that's slightly more than a half season of games. And he only played in a couple playoff games. Paul George hasn't played more than 56 games in a season since 2018-19 and didn't play in the postseason this year. So these guys are, like, just by virtue of, like, that's not even talking about the cap situation, but they're already $40 million over next year's tax line. And you can't rely on Paul George and Kawhi Leonard to play. Like, there's everybody's worried about injuries, but these guys now have a multiple year track record of simply being unable to be on the floor. And now you talk about a team that's already in the tax and has to make a decision, like, do they extend both of them? I mean, they could, and they would still be a, like, what'd they finish this year? They were 44-38, which was actually good enough for fifth this season, but last year that would have been what, ninth in the West, I think. So yeah, you look at it and say they had two part-time players and they finished fifth. And everybody kept, remember when they were being talked about as they were one of the preseason favorites, even at the All-Star break, people were talking about, look out for the Clippers, look out for the Clippers, because if they're healthy, they've got a really good coach in Ty Lue. They've got a decent bench. It's a bunch of vets. I mean, Norman Powell and I mean, Robert Covington was like out of their rotation, but like, they have a deep roster. They have a couple of high-end stars, but the contracts are crazy. And their stars don't play. And now they're in the tax. So what do they do? Like, where do you go from here for the Clippers? I do not envy their position, because look at the Wolves. Yeah, the Wolves are paying a bunch of guys, but Rudy's the only one that's over 30. And none of these guys are like chronically injured, knock on wood. Like, Towns has been banged up. He's had a couple of pretty injury riddled years, but they're not related injuries. The load management isn't a thing where, like, that's a huge part of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. The Wolves are not load managing Carl Anthony Towns. He's had a couple of fluke injuries, you know, the knee and then obviously the calf this year. So that's a different situation. Anthony Edwards has gotten banged up because of the way he plays, but he plays through everything. Rudy Gobert, you know, only takes off a handful of games a year, but that's kind of baked in at this point for most stars, especially of his age and his size as well. Jaden McDaniels, of course, the self-inflicted injury last year. But these guys are all, you know, you're going to pay them a lot of money, but they're reliable. They're young for the most part, and there's upside. So the Wolves are in a better spot than LA. Now, the Clippers, actually, we can talk about the Lakers later. But the Lakers, well, that's a side point. I'm only talking about the teams in Hollinger's article. The Hawks and Clippers, I would say, are both in worse spots than the Timberwolves are. There are, however, what, six teams on this list that I would say are in slightly better, enviable positions, not necessarily because of the high-end, you know, star talents on their rosters, although in a couple cases that is, well, actually in most of these cases that is the case, because we're talking about teams that have super, like, super superstars, but also from a flexibility standpoint, these teams, I think, have, outside of the Towns pivot, have a little bit, can feel a little better about the spot they're in versus where the Wolves are. So I want to talk through those six teams pretty quickly here next, and that's how we'll finish the show. All right, going through John Hollinger's list of teams that are stuck, there's nine. The Timberwolves are one of them. I think the Hawks and Clippers are both in worse spots than the Wolves. But teams that are in slightly better spots, I'll rattle through these pretty quickly. The Brooklyn Nets, mostly because they still have some flexibility after the Kevin Durant trade, and also because they have Bridges on the team. I mean, Mikal Bridges was really good. I mean, he's a potential all-star. He was good before they got him, and actually it's one of the reasons why Phoenix is in also on this list. I don't hate where Brooklyn's at. Hollinger makes the case that they're not really going to compete, but there's still some upside to Bridges. They still have some picks. The cap situation is not ideal. They obviously have the Ben Simmons contract, which is, I mean, Hollinger calls it the league's worst contract. Yeah, I don't know. We could argue that, but And they also owe picks still. So they got picks, but they owe picks because of the James Harden thing. And like the Nets, everything coming and going for them the last few years is so confusing. But I don't hate where they're at because of Bridges, because they got some picks back. The cap space thing isn't ideal. And so maybe if you're in Brooklyn, like it's not ideal overall, but I think they're in a little bit of a better spot than Minnesota. The Dallas Mavericks, I would be really, I would not be happy if I were a Mavericks fan, given where they're at and the what happened at the end of the season, right? The Kyrie trade, they went like 7-15 after getting Kyrie Irving, and he could actually walk into unrestricted free agency. The unhappiness from Luka, the league telling, you know, slapping, not just a hand slap, like a full on like punch to the face for what they did over the, you know, the final weekend of the season at the tanking to keep the number 10 pick. They also don't have very many picks because of the Kyrie trade and others. So like the Mavericks aren't like, I would be totally fine with saying that they're in a worse spot than Minnesota. Like I would be more disappointed in my team if I were a Mavs fan than a Wolves fan. However, they have a ton of cap space this year because Kyrie is actually an unrestricted free agent. So I guess, I don't know. Now that I'm talking through this a little bit more, I think maybe I'd say they're in a worse spot because they're going to have to try and bring back Kyrie Irving, because otherwise you gave up a couple of firsts for a rental that was catastrophic, right? They were worse with Kyrie Irving than they were without him before the trade. But at the same time, if you let him walk, now what do you do with that cap space, right? And theoretically, the Mavs should be able to make that work. I don't know that Jason Kidd's the right coach to make the Kyrie-Luka pairing work, but that's a topic for Locked On Mavericks in a different day. So yeah, I guess the more I think about this, I don't like where they're at because they're stuck. They are stuck. That's the whole point of this, right? You bring back Kyrie and you got to hope it works, or he leaves and now you're out the picks you traded for him and you have this cap space. You got to figure out what to do with it. In terms of their roster, they've got a couple of tradable guys. I mean, like you could trade probably Tim Hardaway. He's got a couple years left on his deal. Davis Bertans has a year and then basically a partial guarantee the year after that. Maxi Kleber, same thing. I guess he just re-signed, so you're probably not trading him. There's not a whole lot there to trade of significant value, and you also owe some picks. They also have the number 10 pick this year. So they're in a weird spot because either this offseason could be really good for them. They bring back Kyrie, they draft somebody at 10, and they kind of reshape things on the fly. Or if they lose Kyrie or bring him back and he's terrible, then you're really stuck. So they're kind of in a weird one. You could argue they're in a better place, but only because of that cap space, the max cap space that they could bring back Kyrie with. Golden State, the Warriors are in a slightly better place only because they have more guys that they could choose to trade. They also have more future picks to trade. But in general, the Golden State Warriors are, like, tax-wise, they're stuck, right? They already extended Jordan Poole. I'm sure Jordan Poole is going to be part of our conversation with Cyrus and Lockdown Warriors on Tuesday. The Warriors would not mind trading Jordan Poole. They have Gary Payton II, who they've extended. They've already extended Andrew Wiggins. Like from a tax perspective, they're pretty stuck. They at least have future first round picks to trade. But the cap space thing is the reason. I would argue they're in a better spot than the Wolves because of the picks and also because of the caliber of players they already have on the roster, right? Like they had a decent year. They won 44 games. They went to the second round. And I think it was kind of a fluky bad year in a similar way to like the season prior last year when they won the title. I wouldn't call it a fluky good year because they're the Warriors, right? But it was maybe a better year than anyone expected going into last year. This year was worse than anyone expected. So the true, you know, they're probably what, a 50-ish win team, and they're probably a 3 or 4 seed somewhere in there with much greater upside because Steph is still Steph and Clay is still Clay. Obviously they're both getting older, but like it's still the Warriors, right? And they've got some trade flexibility because of the pick. So I would argue they're in a better spot than Minnesota, even if it's only slightly. But again, we'll talk a lot more about Golden State, potential trades involving Golden State on Tuesday's show. Miami's just in a better spot because, I mean, they're probably, as I'm recording this, they may not be feeling great because they were up 3-0 and now it's going to a game 7. But given where they're at and given where they were with 44 wins in the regular season and losing that first play-in game, which is where the Wolves were, right? The Wolves only won 42 games. But, I mean, Tyler Herro's extension kicks in. They don't have flexibility. They've got a bunch of contracts. The Duncan Robinson contract. They still have another year of Kyle Lowry, who the Wolves called on earlier this year. Like, the contract situation is not great. But given what they did this year, who cares? They're in a better spot. Same thing with Milwaukee. And I know the close to the year was disappointing, but they had the most wins in the NBA this year. They still have, Chris Middleton may opt out. He's owed $40 million next year if he opts in. It's possible he opts out to try and get less money over more years, which also could help Milwaukee. So if Middleton wants to be a good soldier and help out the team and also guarantee himself more money over a longer period of time, he could do that. That would help. But they also, their only real flexibility is some future picks. They don't have a lot because they still owe Drew Holiday picks, which obviously that was well worth the trade a few years ago. But they also could trade some role players attached to picks, et cetera. It just isn't a ton of flexibility. But because of obviously the high-end talent with Giannis and Drew Holiday and the fact that the Bucks had the best record in the league this year, even though they fired their coach, whatever. I have thoughts on that, but not for now. They're in a good spot. Like, they're fine. Like, who cares if you're a little bit stuck? Better place than the Wolves. The other team, the last one to talk about, would be the Phoenix Suns. Phoenix is in a weird spot. Like, you obviously feel good about having Devin Booker and Kevin Durant on your team, but the DeAndre Ayton thing is messy. You still have aging, oft-injured Chris Paul, and then no cap space. So this is actually the perfect example of a team that's, I would argue, is in a better place than Minnesota because of the high-end talent being superior to what the Wolves have in Booker and Durant. Now, Durant is about to be 35 years old. So this is again, the definition of stuck. They only won 45 games this year. That was a clear under based on what everybody expected. I mean, with Durant for a full season, you would expect them to be closer to 50 wins, a top three seed in the West. Yes. But, you know, how many games is Durant going to play? How many games is Chris Paul going to play? What do you do with DeAndre Ayton? Right now, those guys have combined almost $150 million on their cap just like 2 years from now. So they lost in the playoffs. Like, everybody was healthy-ish, and they lost in the playoffs. So to Denver, who obviously is incredible. But, I don't know. I think Phoenix is in a better place only because of that high-end talent. So grand scheme of things, the Wolves are one of the most, depending on how you feel about Dallas, one of the three or four most stuck teams in the NBA. I would 100% agree with that. But the Karl Anthony Towns pivot is a real thing. We've talked about it a lot on the show. We're going to talk about it Tuesday with Cyrus from Lockdown Warriors. And my take on that is still, I think it's unlikely, but it is possible that the Wolves could trade Karl Anthony Towns because there isn't much else they can do because Tim Connelly pushed his chips in last offseason. So we'll see if he's ready to pivot this quickly or if this is more of a next summer conversation. But remember, Karl Anthony Towns makes $50 million next year. So anyway, we'll talk about that with Cyrus on Tuesday. That's the plan. And then later this week, we will get into a bit more trade talk and then also some draft talk. Wolves do have that second round pick. So I do want to go through some prospects here soon. We're within a month now of the draft. So that'll be one of the next topics we begin to cover here in some more depth. That's all we have for you today. A big thank you for once again making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. It's absolutely greatly appreciated. This show is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. You can also watch the show on the Locked On Sports Minnesota app. On both Roku and Amazon Fire TV, you can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and also at BBeacon with two Bs, two Es, C-K-E-N. Of course, the Locked On Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.